but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
BFFT. From the PAC West Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with a bald-faced truth.
I've known our next guest for a long time, and I like what he's doing. And I got an email from him maybe about 10 days ago, and the subject line was summer, kids, baseball, parks. I opened that email because I'm interested in summer and kids and baseball. Second season of the Extra Innings Youth Baseball Summer League is going strong. The inaugural season last year was a big success. They've got double the number of kids out there. But they're finding, like a lot of youth sports entities, that there's a shortage of space and fields and all that stuff. Our next guest is with the Hopscotch Foundation. Dave Gunderson has done some big things feeding kids, helping kids, providing opportunities. You know, that's near and dear to me. But I want to bring this guy on and have him talk a little bit about his summer baseball program and maybe see if we can't help him out. Dave Gunderson joining us. Where are you today, Dave Gunderson?
I'm sitting at Jefferson High School right now. Kids are up running on the track, and we'll head to a few meetings after that. So out and about, John.
Help us with the Hopscotch Foundation. You know, the genesis of this, you know, you're talking about, you know, a foundation that is rooted in health and diet and kids in particular.
Yeah, 11 years ago. Seems like yesterday, but semi-retired and been a type 1 diabetic since I was 8. So 61 years ago, I know the importance of activity and healthy food for kids. It's critical. And also I had three kids who all were athletes, 13 years in a row, Pac-12 scholarships, and I wanted to give back. And so I called a friend of mine at Jefferson and asked him if I could come over and cook, provide their meal before their game. You know, somebody do that for you? And he goes, no, you're kidding me. This is Jefferson. So I came over, and that was 11 years ago, and over 100 pregame meals in a row. I'm here, and I'm part of a community I love dearly. So that's how it started, from a spaghetti dinner. I saw the kids. I saw kids running onto the field hungry. And I just couldn't even believe it. How in the world are you going to play football or basketball, anything, if you're hungry? So we got on that and solved that. And really, we're on in their world, seeing what they need. And Hopscotch has morphed a few times, but originally it was all about healthy food and activity for kids.
What do the kids call you when they see you coming?
Uncle Dave. Yeah, I don't think they even know my last name, John. It's Uncle Dave. I, you know, it's just kind of took about a year. And ever since then, I've kind of got passed down from generation year to year. And Uncle Dave has stuck. And I know it's a term of endearment. I appreciate that, and it helps to know that I am a part of the community. It's meaningful stuff, what I do. I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't get a lot out of it personally, but it's incredible the relationships and everything I've created in these 11 years. This is my home. And plus my three kids, really, I learned so much from them in their sporting careers. And I just saw such a shortage of resources here. And so I have a lot of friends. I lived here my whole life, and I have a lot of friends in Portland. And I said, here's what I'm going to do. We're going to take, we're going to try and get these kids into activities that otherwise couldn't have access to. And so it's just taken off from there.
I saw a piece in the New York Times where they talked about private equity getting into youth sports and how access to youth sports is, directly tied to your socioeconomic standing. You know, can you afford to play club sports? Can you afford to travel and be on travel teams? You're encountering some kids that, you know, were struggling to get enough to eat, and you're doing a great thing in feeding kids and being there. You've also got into this extra innings baseball program. How did that start? How did baseball become a thing for your organization?
I was at Jefferson one day, and there was a big fight, and I was with the security guys, and we were, mulling it over, and one of them said, I'm going to start a baseball team. And it actually grew from that moment, and I remember it so distinctly. Now, so we did. Extra innings started last year. It is summer youth baseball. We have great parks in the city, a lot of them right around here. And so the city, I talked to them and worked it out with them. And Little League has its place. It's fine. But back to the title of that email, it is summer. It is Portland. There's great parks. Why not play baseball and not worry about boundary lines or ages, making all-stars and all that? Why not just have fun and learn a game? And most of these kids were priced out of baseball. It's become a very expensive sport $500 gloves and same on bats. I mean, and traveling teams, and these kids can't afford that. Their families can't afford that. And so I reached out to my good friends and said, hey, help me. And everybody stepped up. It's been incredible as it's all unfolded and how it's unfolded. But we had five teams last year. These are mostly kids who never played baseball before. Never. They didn't even know when they hit the ball at first whether to run to third or first. They didn't know what hand to put the glove on. It was kids who just had never had any exposure at all. And so we funded it. My friends and all of us stepped forward. No family pays anything. Everything is provided. Uniforms, gloves, bats, everything. And so mom and dad don't have to worry about a big bill. And we're not going to lay anything on them about, $2,000 to Phoenix for tournament. That's not us. We play at Overlook Park. We play at Peninsula Park. And we are providing access that just had never been provided before. So our first year was great, and now we're up to 12 teams. But kids ranging in age from 6 to 14. We'll probably have a couple more teams come in this week. Staying very flexible, and we're shying away from, this whole All-Star thing that's just crept into every facet of youth sports, and I don't want to go there. I think sports can build so much character in kids and life lessons. I know with my three it did. And so the way people responded, it's just overwhelming. And I think next year we'll set another bar, and I'm pretty sure we'll reach it. So, yeah, it's been a lot of fun, very meaningful, and a lot of smiles on a lot of kids' faces. So.
What do you get out of it? Tell me what you get out of it and kind of why you're in it.
Well, I'm in it for, I feel accountable. I grew up here in Portland, and Portland's treated me well. And I know we've had a lot of problems, but I also know that there's a lot of good people here. And what I personally get out of that is just tapping into the resources I already have and making it work and bringing that to these kids. And it's meaningful stuff. It really is. When a parent walks up to you and goes, I mean, I can't even, they're in tears, and they just go, we couldn't do this before. And it's playing baseball. We grew up playing baseball. They don't know. We just got a big donation from the Crevasse Knights of wiffle ball bats and balls. And just that simple thing, to see the reaction to that is extremely meaningful. I have a lot of kids that come up to me that I knew 8 or 9 years ago, gone through here, and they go, you're still here? And I go, yeah, I'm not going anywhere. That's so cool. So personally for me, it's giving back. It's that I feel good that I'm making even a small difference, but I can see I am making a difference. And it's what I do. It's who I am. It's defining me in many ways. And a lot of us never get that kind of opportunity. Plus, kids are a blast to be around. I mean, they're fun. And so, it's not work to me. It's what I'm supposed to be doing. So I guess that's a big thing to get.
Yeah. Dave Gunderson with us, Hopscotch Foundation. What do you need from the baseball perspective? There's a shortage of fields. Has that been rectified, or is this ongoing? Will this always be a saga?
The park situation in Portland is fantastic. We have some really cool parks. I mean, we play a lot of our games at Overlook, and it's right in the old Albina area. And so parks are not the thing. And the city's been great. Can't say enough about how helpful they've been. And it's created a community. You sit there and watch some games, and like I always go around and introduce myself and talk to the folks. And there were a couple old guys, this was just last week, and I walked up to them and said, hey, you guys got a blanket playing out here? And they said, no, Is it all right? We just like to watch kids play baseball. Two old guys just, you know, having a great summer afternoon sitting in the park watching kids play baseball. And we need more things like that. It's all about, you know, building community. And I tell Jim Etzel at Sport Oregon all the time, I mean, I hope somebody drives by and sees us all out there having fun. And the feedback I get is it's just so, I know I'm making a difference. Otherwise, I would have given it up and gone home a long time ago.
Dave Gunderson, Hopscotch Foundation. For people who are listening, Dave, who might want to give a helping hand, make a donation, or maybe if they have a line on a facility that you might be able to use or baseball equipment they'd like to get to you, how can they get in touch with the Hopscotch Foundation?
Well, I should also mention that really quick. We now have an indoor facility in North Portland, and it's fantastic. We have four jugs machines. We have four pitching lanes. We put in a weight room. We put in a cardio room. A lot of parents, when they drop off, you can take infield. A lot of parents, when they drop off their kids to practice, they can go in and use the exercise room, which is something most of them don't have access to. And so that indoor facility has just worked. And then, of course, through the winter, these kids are going to be able to keep up with their skills. We always need more money, but we do have a lot of people helping us, people like the Corvallis Knights and Dan Siegel, Jerry Garnett at DeMarini, the Regiments, Adley and Randy, Jugs, Duncan and Cindy Campbell, and my late, very close friend, Bill Stoller, have provided us so much. But our website is extrainningspdx, all one word, all lower caps, .org. And people can go on there and look at the website. When I committed to doing this, Duncan, who started Friends of the Children with his wife, Cindy, Duncan Campbell, and he went to Jeff, and I told him what I was doing. And Duncan said, okay, well, that's great, but you got to commit to me that this isn't a one-off. Hmm. He goes, these kids have had people come into their life and go out of their life, and don't do that to them. If you're going to do that, don't go at all. And I took that to heart. And Duncan wrote a book called The Art of Being There. And that simple phrase just resonated so much. I saw it play out. You got to keep at it. You got to keep on going and be consistent and make sure you're there in good times and bad times in their own space. And amazing things will happen. So, yeah, extrainningspdx.org, all small caps. And we can use help. It's going great, and people see it, and they give. And we're on to something. And I really can't wait to see what some of these 10-year-olds we're working with right now, where they end up. They're tremendous athletes, and they just never knew. And so, yeah.
Dave Gunderson, Hopscotch Foundation. Keep up the fight, my friend. You're doing good work out there.
I appreciate it, John. And thank you to all of you who do help us. We appreciate it.
Dave Gunderson there doing some good stuff with that extra innings program. I'm on their website, extrainningspdx.org. pdx.org if you want to help out. They're doing baseball. They're doing softball. Their inaugural season, they had five teams, about 70 players. They have more than doubled that to this season. I read a story in the New York Times today about the youth sports industry. Youth sports industry generates about $40 billion in annual revenue. I want you to just wrap your head around $40 billion as an industry. Like last year, for example, the domestic movie box office grossed about $8.7 billion. Youth sports industry does $40 billion a year. 60 million children play sports. The average American family spent more than $1,000 on their child's primary sport in 2024. That is up 46% since 2019. That is a far cry from the days when youth sports were dominated by nonprofit organizations like CYO or Pop Warner or Little League Baseball getting involved. Over the years, it has become about batting cages. It has become about travel teams. It has become about private lessons. It has become about so much of this stuff. And the entry point into youth sports is a big number now. And you can talk about a variety of people who have watched Tiger Woods or have watched other athletes who, you know, what's the image of Tiger Woods? It's his dad, Earl, pushing him to play golf when he was a toddler. And people went, oh, that's the ticket. That's the way to get to a college scholarship or a paycheck. But the entry point has become more prohibitive for a lot of families. You know, a lot of families, it's not attainable. And yet, studies, the Aspen Institute did this survey. They said that roughly 2 in 10 youth sports parents believes that their child has the ability to play Division I college sports. And 1 in 10 thinks that their child can get to the pros or the Olympics. And so what's happening here? Money chases money. Demand to play college or high school sports, demand to play youth sports. Parents are spending money they don't even have. And a lot of these private equity firms are starting to get in the business of youth sports. IMG has a 400-acre facility with 63 tennis courts, 32 fields, 73 basketball and volleyball courts. They've got psychologists. They've got nutritionists. They've got trainers. They've got specialists. IMG costs $85,000 a year to attend. And yet, it's not available to everybody. My oldest daughter played club volleyball. She played on a good club team. Two of her club teammates are now playing on Division I volleyball teams. One at Oregon, one at Kansas. And they were good. And they were good because of those two players mainly, and some coaching. But it cost several thousand dollars to play that season. I was blown away. She was 12 years old. I was like, we're traveling to Seattle. We're traveling to Phoenix. We're in the Bay Area. We're all over the place. Rental cars, flights. And I'm like, who has the money to do this? And then they would get into these matches, these volleyball matches, against some of the clubs or some of the schools that were in less affluent areas. It's the nicest way to put it. And they would dominate. And I remember having a conversation with the coach. I said, this match was determined 12 years ago. This match was not determined today. This match was determined where these kids were born. It was simply about their access to the programs, their access to coaching, their access to club camps, their access to better equipment, their access to gyms. It was an access issue. This wasn't about my kid and her teammates being superior athletes. You know, I'm not knocking their athleticism. This was about their zip code more than anything. I said to that coach, I said, this match that you are playing today was determined 12 years ago. And he kind of laughed at it. He knew. Because if you had taken the kids on the other team and you had changed zip codes and you had given them all the access to the coaching and the weekend tournaments and gym time and private lessons and nutrition and the equipment, they would have kicked our butt. It was all about access. And so there's some good people out there like Dave Gunderson who are doing good work. Hopscotch Foundation, he's doing good work. We're trying to do it at the Baldface Truth Foundation, but he's doing this specifically. I love that. And I've got a lot of friends like Marshall Cho, longtime high school basketball coach. This is near and dear to him. Access, access, access. He's always doing camps and offering opportunities to kids who couldn't otherwise afford it. That is a segment of our society that I think we can do better with. I want you to leave it here. Punch It Audio is coming up.